I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Arch Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show number 92. Playing a little bit under the weather today. For some reason, I have once again puzzled the Oklahoma doctors. They have no idea what to do with the sore throat. Seems like this is day 19 of the sore throat, and it hurts. And I'm a big baby about it, I admit it. But damn, I can't swallow, can't hardly breathe, can't do nothing, can't drink Chinako, can't smoke God's flowers. Is life worth living if you can't smoke God's flowers and drink a little Chinako? This is pretty much going to be the only words in this issue that are mine. But what can I do? I waited for this damn thing to go away, and it hasn't gone away. So all I can do is put up a little bit of comedy, a little bit of informative this and that. Hope you like it. And maybe next issue I'll have a voice. Bart Cop Radio 93 has got to be better. The 92, right? So let's get into the big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Staff changes at the White House, a drumbeat of criticism at the Pentagon, and a middle class besieged by rising gasoline prices and increasingly disgusted with a Congress that no longer represents them. Joining me now to talk about what they're hearing from their listeners, Randy Rhodes, the host of The Randy Rhodes Show on Air America Radio, Mark Simone, talk show host on WABC Radio, and James Ntume, the open line on KISS FM. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Let me start with Donald Rumsfeld. What do you think?
Of course he's got to go. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. You got a president that has to go.
Yeah.
And you have a situation here. Here's what we got right now. You got the Republicans robbing the bank and the Democrats driving the getaway car. So let's be real clear what we're talking about. So we've got to rethink the whole paradigm. But one thing for sure, and I'm sure Randy's ready to go on this, we got to seriously look at this president, and how far do we let it go? It ain't even about Bush anymore. It's how far the American people are ready to be pimped and played and stoop down to this level. I'm not going to be played like that.
Randy,
he's
are
exactly
you ready to
right.
go?
Well, look, I won't go as far as to say who's driving the getaway car, because, Democrats have absolutely no control over everything. We watch sham bills, if the Republicans don't want it, it doesn't happen. If the Republicans want it, it happens. That's just got to be accepted. And I know people are really down on Congress as a whole, but you got to remember, Democrats control nothing, not even the getaway car. However, I did not come here to be partisan. I came here today, Lou, I swear to you, I came here today to ask you to do something. Seriously, my listeners, yours too, I'm sure, always get to this point. They go, well, then, James, what do you want us to do? What do we do? What do we do? If every single camera that's available in the media, cable-wide, network-wide, is not in Nevada at the nuclear test site on June 2nd to watch 1.4 million pounds of explosives be blown up, to sit so they can do the math and figure out how to make a tactical nuke, a smaller nuclear weapon that will represent that much firepower for Iran. If we don't show America this mushroom cloud that will explode in Nevada on the 2nd of June, there is no hope for the American people. There's no hope for the media. You asked me last time I was here, whose fault is it? And I said, it's our fault. It's the media's fault. We have to tell this story. This president is manifestly insane. Donald Rumsfeld is insane. You've got Josh Bolton, who is going to be talked about today. He's going to shake up things. He's going to re-energize. You know what his hobby is? He collects photographs of Bush's hands. That's what he does. I suspect so he can write left and right on them, but that is what he does.
Well, Mark, spring to the defense of this beleaguered, besieged administration.
Go, Republican boy.
That's a lot to take on. Well, I'm not a Republican, but let's see. I'm glad to hear there's something that scares you more than Rumsfeld. Also remember, because of these six generals, now it may be that Rumsfeld was going to go anyway. There are going to be changes. Right. But because of these six generals, now Rumsfeld has to stay. Otherwise, it looks like a knee-jerk reaction. So you can thank these six generals.
We'd want anybody accused of a knee-jerk reaction.
With a nuke.
Well, you can thank these guys for the next year of Rumsfeld that you'll probably get as a result. Also remember, there's another group of very respected generals defending Rumsfeld, although they don't get any coverage. New York Times puts the guys against Rumsfeld above the fold. No mention of the other guys. I think Rumsfeld should go, just because you burn out after 6 years. But there are some good things he did in the beginning. He did modernize things and got rid of some old weapon systems that probably should have gone. Combat phase, fast, lightning force, like he said it would
be. Left soldiers with bad equipment. They're getting blown, arms getting blown off.
But no body armor.
No body armor.
Here's the real problem. Democrats always get everybody's attention, either with a Gold Star mother camping outside of Bush's house or with these six generals, and then they call for nothing. You've got to call for something. Demand another 100,000 troops. Demand a pullout. Come up with something.
I think this is a very important point that we haven't touched on until we move to the next subject that I do want to put out there. As far as I'm concerned, when I made that reference, as humorous as it was, I meant it. The reality is, even though the Democrats can't, because Republicans do control the Congress
Everybody.
And the Senate, but there's such a thing as standing up and making a statement. The Democrats rolled
but
over on
have.
The hold it, please rolled over on the Patriot Act. As much as we want to applaud Hillary Clinton, they all bought into the war.
They're so, not all, listen,
no, wait, let me,
they didn't all
something.
Buy into
the war. Are you talking about the major ones?
That's
but
not
James,
true.
What
sure
major Democrat did?
The whole entire Congressional
major,
Black Caucus
not,
fought. Feingold voted no.
I'm talking
listen,
about
you know,
those in power.
You've got to do the head count.
They bought into
listen,
the war.
I'm sorry.
I just want to understand what James is saying here.
123 Democrats voted no. They get no credit from guys like you, which is why they're afraid to stand up.
Randy, please, let me finish.
They're afraid.
I would just like the latitude of completion. Now, as I said, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm into whatever makes sense. The one question I'd like to ask, Lou, and you can probably do this on your show at some point, where are all those neocons that constructed this? Where's Wolfowitz? Where's Pearl? Where's Fife? Where's Shulsky? The Office of Special Plans is really when the Pentagon schism started to happen. And I like to hear from that. It's really un-American for a president to lie about it all.
Yeah.
I mean, wiretap. You know what I felt was great? When they asked for the names of the people that they had wiretap eavesdropped on, they released a statement saying, well, we would like to give you those names, but we can't because it would infringe on their right of privacy.
The United States is already set on a preemptive military action against Iran that may or may not involve tactical nuclear weapons. The president responded to this charge.
I read the articles in the newspapers this weekend. It was just wild speculation, by the way. What you're reading is wild speculation, which is it's kind of a, you know, happens quite frequently here in the nation's capital.
I guess what I'm saying is you're idiots. You're all idiots. Reading speculation. I mean, let's see. We've got an America-hating madman who we know is building WMDs in an oil-rich country that starts with the letters IRA. But an invasion? That's just wild speculation. The defense secretary was equally dismissive.
You know, someone comes up with an idea, runs it in a magazine or a paper. Other papers pick it up and reprint it. Editorialists then say, oh, Henny Penny, the sky's falling, and isn't opine on this and opine on that.
Henny Penny, gee willikers, why were we even worried? I mean,
Secretary Rumsfeld wouldn't reassure us like we were children if there actually was a problem there. I remember a few years ago when the silly goose media was worried about the early reports of violence in Iraq.
I picked up a newspaper today, and I couldn't believe it. I read 8 headlines that talked about chaos, violence, unrest, and it just was henny penny, the sky is falling. I've never seen anything like it.
Holy crap! We're going to war with Iran! We'll be right back.
Now it's time for a segment we call Great Moments in Presidential Speeches. Oh, great that? Moments.
This is great.
Great moments in presidential speeches. Take a look.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Where's the rally monkey?
Thank you for coming. Welcome to the show. Let's get to the news. Oh, lots of news. Tom and Katie welcome their baby into the world on Tuesday. Aww. Tom said in a statement, Katie is fine and I couldn't be more excited about the new movie. Baby. What did I say? They've named her Suri, but have already just started calling her Sir, just like Katie does to Tom. The baby will not be baptized, but its brain will be carefully washed by professionals. When asked how it feels to be a mother, Katie was reported as saying, oh, can I talk now? It's cool? Oh, then good. Yeah, I'm good. For all of you who didn't see the birth, here's a showbiz show. Exclusive on how it went down. Okay, there's Tom. All right. Hey, honey, I was watching American Idol. I got the McFever. And Katie comes up. She's fine there. I'm about to have your baby, Mr. Cruz. Can we name her Cindy? Weirder. How about Sharon? Weirder. How about Suri? Done. Wait, I was kind of kidding. Nope, too late, done. It's in the book. Sing strike. Go, go, baby! Can I see my parents now? That's funny. What do you need your parents for? You got all your new Scientology friends. Come on in, gang. Hey, it's Travolta. Hey, baby, I brought Kirstie too. Hey, you know what I'm thinking, Tom? Placenta brownies, yep. I'll heat the oven. Oh, here comes the doctor. Well. How's my patient? Kind of tired, doctor. Not you, breeder. And scene. There you go. There you go. Not one puppet class. And that's how it went down. Okay. Before the birth, Tom Cruise sat down with Diane Sawyer on Friday. No one gets a bigger kick out of Tom Cruise than, well, Tom Cruise.
What would you like to know?
Why are you laughing?
It's funny hearing that coming from your mouth.
Boy, girl?
Boy or a girl?
When you look back at the Oprah show now, what do you see him say?
I say, now there's some fun. There's some fun.
Dude, cheer up. Angelina Jolie's former lesbian lover says she doubts the star can give up her lesbian ways. When reached for a comment, Brad Pitt said, yeah! I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy! Woo! Sparklers! See, he's happy. That's good news. In a VH1 poll, British music professionals chose a line from U2's song One as the best lyric. All right, that's not a bad lyric, but may I submit for your consideration something else?
My lovely lady, no.
Not too late. Think about it. Episcopal churches across the country have been playing the music of U2 during Mass. A church spokesman says U2's music has helped attract young people who abandoned church during KFED February. Lost a few during KFED February. Child welfare officers made a follow-up visit to Britney Spears' home on Monday. They told reporters that the baby's fine, but they're concerned because Kevin Federline pooped his pants. After further review, they rescinded that statement, saying, actually, his pants were so low, he just pooped. All good. I don't know if you've been watching Extra lately, but it's a good show. And it seems like they're trying to take more serious news topics on.
You go, Wilmer. And guess who got some FaceTime with the Iraqi High Tribunal this week? That's right, the Butcher of Baghdad, Saddam Hussein. Still sporting his Clooney and Syriana beard, the former Ba'ath Party monster was dressed springtime casual and accessorizing like a fox, Jamie Foxx. But Saddam didn't use stealth or take any collateral, Ray, when he shared some words of mass destruction with the judge. Whoa, did he just say what I thought he said? Not afraid to go there. Don't worry, Saddam. The only thing we find you guilty of is looking fabulous.
Turning into 60 Minutes. Colin Farrell and his former girlfriend met last Sunday and reached an agreement in their legal battle over the sex tape they made. The session was the first time the couple has come together since the last minute of the tape. It's a dirty one. I hear MTV has a new show called Yo Mama, where LA's best trash talkers are pitted against each other in a no-holds-barred battle. I bet they really throw it down with the clever stuff. Let's check it out.
Okay. Have y'all ever seen a Sharpie marker? You looking like one of those, though.
Oh, no, he didn't. Stephen Baldwin is selling his home because he reportedly owes the government a bunch of money in back taxes and doesn't have the money to pay it. Wait, the biodome money is all gone? All of it? How is it possible that all of the biodome money is gone? Biodome money? Not anymore. Matt Lauer has signed a new deal to co-host the Today Show through 2011 for $13 million a year. Al Roker will continue to get his standard salary of all-you-can-eat peeps.
I want to show you a picture from the news this week. This is Laura Bush with a bunch of kids that they called the Katrina kids. You know, they have the, every year they have the Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn, and it's darling. I love to go myself.
I thought you were allergic to children.
Now, this year, though, they had these Katrina kids, which is a lovely name to brand children with the name of a storm as your identity. I think right there it's good for kids. And in a display right out of North Korea, these kids sang a song of praise for our dear leader. Let me read some of the lyrics. Congress, Bush, and FEMA, people across our land, together have come to rebuild us, and we join them hand in hand. It's very Kim Jong-il, isn't it? I mean, when you are singing that... Okay.
Was this something the White House asked them to sing, or is this something they came up with on their own?
My guess is it was asked. You know, just like they said, we didn't ask anybody to put that mission accomplished banner up there. They just did it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we hired some kids for a rebuttal. And I would like to send this out... To all the people who I ever partied with in New Orleans, this is for you, and I hope your HBO got back on.
Your husband's a great big screw-up. Now we live out of our car. Katrina killed my grandma while he sat and played guitar. Our city's a disaster. It's nicer than Iraq. If you think you make things better, smoking crack.
Martin Luther King Jr. was shot in Memphis, Tennessee on April 4th, 1968. He was critically injured. Dr. King fell into a coma. The world waited for news of his fate. There were no riots. Time passed. King faded into memory. There was no national holiday. Then, on October 27, 2000, 32 years after he was shot, Martin Luther King Jr. came back. King amazed the world when on November 2nd, 7 days after awaking from a 30-year coma, he showed up to vote in the 2000 presidential election. He was turned away due to voting irregularities. King inked a 7-figure deal to write his autobiography called Dream Deferred. 1 week after 9/11. Then, on October 15th, during an appearance on Politically Incorrect, King shot the country.
Great.
Dr. King, okay, you're an advocate of nonviolence, but guess what? How do you think the United States should respond to the terror attacks of 9/11?
Well, as a Christian, we are taught that you should love thy enemy, and if attacked, you should turn the other cheek. What?
America was outraged.
The president was very concerned by some comments made by some ex-civil rights leaders, and those people in question should watch their goddamn mouths.
Of course, an Al-Qaeda lover like Martin Luther King wants us to just roll over and let the terrorists win because he hates America. My suggestion? Go take another 30-year nap, commie bastard.
And so the philosophy of this new political party might be considered extremely leftist by some.
Do you love America?
Sorry?
You sure as hell are, buddy. Why can't liberals ever answer that question with a simple yes, huh? If you ask me if I love America, I say yes. Why can't you say yes? Say you love America right now. Say it.
The party's basic philosophy is...
Say it!
Sir, I will not be...
Say it or shut up!
We'll be back with more fair and balanced coverage.
Oh, oh!
He just hit him.
Oh! I thought that went well.
You know, Huey, those of us who do adhere to the philosophy of nonviolence frown upon the throwing of furniture to resolve our political differences. Excuse me, brothers and sisters, please. If someone could just turn off...
King looked out on his people and saw they were in great need. So he did what all great leaders do. He told them the truth.
Will you ignorant niggas please shut the hell up?
He just said what I think he said.
Is this it? This is what I got all those ass whoopings for? I had a dream once. It was a dream that little black boys and little black girls would drink from the river of prosperity, freed from the thirst of oppression. But lo and behold, some 4 decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggas. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say that word. It's the ugliest word in the English language, but that's what I see now, niggas. And you don't want to be a nigger, because niggas are living contradictions. Niggas are full of unfulfilled ambitions. Niggas wax and wane. Niggas love to complain. Niggas love to hear themselves talk but hate to explain. Niggas love being another man's judge and jury. Niggas procrastinate until it's time to worry. Niggas love to be late. Niggas hate to hurry. Black Entertainment Television is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Usher, Michael Jackson is not a genre of music. And now I'd like to talk about Soul Plane. I've seen what's around the corner. I've seen what's over the horizon. And I promise you, you niggas have nothing to celebrate. And no, I won't get there with you. I'm going to Canada. Thank you, Huey.
Thank you, Dr. King.
Do what you can.
That was the last time I saw Dr. King. But the story doesn't end there. King's speech was replayed the entire next day on the cable news channel. Then, something unexpected happened. People got angry.
Nobody knows exactly what to attribute to the sharp decline in African-American dropout rates.
That is every African-American player in the NBA refusing to play until there is a full troop withdrawal.
Billionaire Bob Johnson apologizing to Black America for the network he founded.
The White House and Congress are receiving an unprecedented amount of calls from irate African-Americans.
And the revolution finally came.
The mob is refusing to disrupt. The president is urging everyone to stay calm and obey the curfew.
You're horrible!
We repeat.
It's fun to dream.